I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 12th of October 2015. I'm Russell Hargreaves and on today's show we'll be talking to Olivier Giroud about his memories of France 98. Lifelong Gooner and former East Ender Tom Watt is our Arsenal insider and Adrian Clarke is here again to preview the Watford game. But let's kick off with the weekend review. With no Premier League games over the weekend, of course, it's given us a chance to look at how Arsenal's players are getting on for their respective countries over the international break. Pleased to say that I'm joined by Arsenal Media's Max Jones. Max, good to have you on the show, mate. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, very well, thank you.
We'll start, I think, if we can, then, with the main headlines.
Yes, so obviously the main one being Aaron Ramsey qualifying for the Euros, helping Wales qualify for their first major tournament for 57 years. Don't know if you remember the 1958 World Cup at all.
Not that old, mate. Not quite that old.
But yeah. So
feel like it.
it's a bit of a strange story because they actually lost 2-0 against Bosnia, but still finished at least second. Still a game to play, obviously. After Cyprus beat third place Israel 2-1. This is actually their only their first qualifying defeat. So, yeah, good time to get it.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. So, really good news for Wales and Ramsey. One other one, of course, we should be across as well. Exciting young player who's made an international debut.
Yes, Alex Iwobi came off the bench to make his senior debut against the Democratic Republic of Congo. They actually lost the game 2-0, but it's an unforgettable day for him, especially as he seems to be following in his uncle's footsteps. He may not want us to talk too much about JJ Okocha being his uncle, but... Yeah, he's making similar strides in the football world now. He's just signed a new long-term contract with Arsenal, so he's definitely one to keep an eye on.
So really good news for Nigeria to have somebody like that coming through. And, of course, no significant injuries,
no
which
significant
is very
injuries.
Important.
Yeah, that's always very nice to hear.
Good, because we've got some big, big games coming up. Obviously, we've got a lot of Arsenal players whose teams have now qualified for the Euros. Quite a few of those confirmed over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just work through a list based on the qualifying groups now. France will obviously be there, tournament hosts, so you can expect to see Giroud, Koscielny and Debuchy all in France.
Nice.
Petr Cech and Thomas Rosicki have also qualified. So they came second to Iceland, who were a bit of a surprise in Group A. And it does mean that they've qualified ahead of Turkey and the Netherlands as well. So, you know, quite big fish in that group.
France looking good, Czech Republic looking good, but also, Max, a few others as well.
Yeah, Mesut Ozil claimed an assist for Max Kruse's winner in Germany's 2-1 victory against Georgia yesterday. That guaranteed their spot, finishing top of the group. Also in that group, Wojciech Szczesny, a new substitute in both games, but he has helped in qualifying and Poland will now be going to France.
And he's been doing well, hasn't he, in Italy as well?
He's been doing very well in Italy. Very impressive. So, you know, we're going to be looking forward to when he comes back here at the end of his life.
And Spain, we should be across, and England, clearly, as well.
So, both teams qualified really convincingly, you know, with ease as well. A lot's been said about England going 10 games unbeaten overall, but 9 consecutive victories in that group. Santi Cazorla as well, also impressed. 2 goals against Luxembourg in their 4-0 win. So you expect to see a lot of players representing Arsenal at the Euros in France.
So in terms of those, just finally then, that really impressed over the international break, Cazorla would be one, and hopefully one or two of our England stars as
well.
Yes,
yeah, well, Theo Walcott was very impressive grabbing that opener. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain came on late as well. Yeah, he looks typically busy, typically threatening going forward. Kieran Gibbs, our new substitute, but he may get a run out in tonight's game. You know, Roy Hodgson is looking to mix things up a bit, try some players out. And with Leighton Baines and Luke Shaw out, Kieran Gibbs should be fancying a start tonight. Along with that, Olivier Giroud, scoring two goals last night against Denmark in their international friendly. Both kind of strikers' instinct goals, so very exciting to see him and Walcott both hitting form at the same time for their countries. Hopefully we can take that into this weekend against Watford. And just finally, we have another informed striker. Alexis Sanchez scored his seventh goal in his last four games by scoring against Brazil in their 2018 World Cup qualifier. So, yeah, Watford are going to have a real, real challenge trying to keep Arsenal quiet this weekend.
So, happy days for Chile as well. Max, thank you very much indeed. Top stuff, mate. Of course, Max mentioned Olivier Giroud there. Now, let's hear from one of Arsenal's first team stars who is currently away on international duty, and that is Mr. Giroud. Olivier Giroud has established himself as a key member of France's squad very quickly in his 4 years of international football. The striker's already got 40 caps and 12 goals for his country, including a memorable header against Switzerland in the 2014 World Cup. Olivier looks set to feature at France 2016, and ahead of the international break, he sat down with Arsenal media's Josh James to recall his country's last success on home soil back at the 1998 World Cup.
So you were 11, I think, were you, for France 98 when they hosted the World Cup. What are your memories of that?
Yeah, I remember all the competition, you know. I watch every single French team game. So, yeah, I was really proud, you know, when we won the World Cup. And it was a fantastic year because it was at home and... I was only 11, as you said, but I can remember every single moment of this competition. This victory was amazing, and I would like to enjoy it with French people. So hopefully, we will go till the end.
So where did you watch the final back in 98? Do you remember where you were?
Yeah, I was in my cousin's place in the south of France. Yeah, I had like blue, white, red paint on my face. And it was amazing. After we went in the street and like...
celebrating in the cars.
Yeah, in the cars. How do you say clack?
Yeah,
clacks,
beeping the horn and
beeping the horn. Yeah.
So driving down the street, flags and everything. So did that inspire a whole generation? Because that was a real golden age for the France team, wasn't it? All the big games.
Yeah, golden age, as you said. But we need to write a new page of of the French team history. And we have done quite well in the World Cup. We lost again the world champion. It was a tight game, but we want to show that at home with our good squad, togetherness, you know, in this French squad, we can get far in this competition. Yeah.
From one French striker to another, it's time for a very special Arsenal history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it? Or Charlie George, who can hit him? Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now.
On the 18th of October 2005, Thierry Henry struck twice against Sparta Prague at the Toyota Arena to break Ian Wright's record for Arsenal and become the club's all-time leading goalscorer.
Touré with the ball forward. This is Henry. Thierry Henry! 6 minutes into his comeback and Thierry Henry has equalled Ian Wright's goalscoring record and put Arsenal in front against Sparta Prague. Pires. Robert Pires. Delightful ball for Henry. This is Henry for two. He's done it. goal number 186. Thierry Henry, Arsenal's greatest goal scorer ever.
I wasn't even meant to travel. I just came back, like, I trained for 2 days. I had some problem with my Achilles, I remember, and the boss said, you know what, Thierry, just come with us and you won't play. And I came on and I scored 2 goals, which is wasn't the plan right from the start, but the only thing I will always, I think, regret is that I didn't do it at Highbury. But I, you know, it was a great thing, and you know, it was a special moment. I wanted to celebrate it with my teammates. That is why when you see me scoring, I go like, I ask everybody to come, and it was a great moment.
Thierry would receive the ultimate honour a week later when Wright recognised the striker's achievement in front of 38,000 Arsenal fans at Highbury.
One Arsenal legend congratulates another. A warm embrace between Ian Wright and Thierry Henry. And Wright will make a presentation to his successor to mark his midweek milestone of 186 goals for the club. The Frenchman here has overtaken Wright's record, and they are the two most accurate gunners of all time, having hit the target between them 371 times for Arsenal.
Thierry spent 8 years in North London during his first spell at the club and then returned for a season in 2012 to boost his goal tally to an incredible 228. He's one of the most iconic players to have ever worn the red and white, having lifted 5 major trophies and spearheaded Arsenal's invincible season. And he's one of only 5 men to have been immortalised with a statue adorning the Emirates Stadium. But that's enough from us about Thierry Henry. Let's hear our Arsenal insiders' memories of him.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, this week's Arsenal insider is the actor, presenter, journalist and, of course, Arsenal supporter Tom Watt. Tom, great to have you on the podcast. How are you, mate?
Thank you very much. Not bad at all, although I feel anything but an insider at the moment. I've been travelling all over Europe the last month and a half on a BT Sport film, and I feel like I've watched Arsenal games in some very strange places, let me tell you.
Good work. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go back first of all and just continue something we've been talking about on the show already, which is Thierry Henry, and perhaps your memories of him.
Of Thierry? Where do you start exactly? I mean, it was one of the great kind of honours of my life, really, as an Arsenal supporter. The Football Writers Association did a whole kind of special evening recognising Thierry's achievements at Arsenal and in English football. And they got in touch with me, the Football Writers got in touch with me and said, would you say a few words? And a few words turned out when I got there that they meant, will you be the turn, really?
Nice.
I did kind of pick out 4 or 5 sort of just great, great memories of Thierry. Not least, probably if there was one, that, you know, that afternoon against Liverpool, we'd been knocked out of the FA Cup by Manchester United. We'd been knocked out of the Champions League by Chelsea. Come the Saturday, in the invincible season, we find ourselves twice behind to Liverpool. And Thierry just kind of... Obviously, that was a wonderful team, but Thierry, by sheer force of will, I think, made sure that season stayed the invincible season, and, of course, we went on to win the league. There are so many memories, really. Fantastic, fantastic player.
And as you say, he wasn't just a goal scorer, was he? It was the other elements that he brought to the team. That force of will was clearly one, but he's one of these guys that just exudes class, calm, and brings the best out of others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, to be fair, he was part of a team that had that all over the pitch. I mean, my favourite ever Arsenal player, Dennis Bergkamp, I'm sure, you know, Thierry will tell anybody who wants to listen just how, for a striker, what it's like to play alongside someone like Bergkamp. And, you know, you look through that kind of invincible team, for example, and it's just... There's kind of quality everywhere, and Thierry, I suppose, was a kind of goal-scoring talisman. But, yeah, absolutely, and plenty to his game. You know, he wasn't just about finishing, as it were, you know, kind of laid goals on for other people and did his bit defending from the front as well. So, no, absolutely all-round an amazing, amazing footballer.
So a couple of tricky questions for you here. As you say, a great all-round forward, and it's tough to compare eras, we both know that, but Wright or Henry?
It is difficult to compare eras, actually. In fact, it's almost impossible, really. You wonder. I think you have to. To be perfectly honest, I think you have to look at the team that Thierry was part of and look at the team that Ian was part of. And I think, you know, kind of.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The whole team was about righty and had to be about righty. It was a different kind of, you know, for finishing, for raw enthusiasm, you'd have to say Wrighty was absolutely up there. You know, you just felt like he was one of those players, and they're pretty rare these days. They were pretty rare even in Wrighty's days, who you felt like, you know, he played like you imagine as a supporter you would play if you got the call. Do you know what I mean? That kind of, that passion, that enthusiasm, that sort of, just that Arsenal-ness, do you know what I mean? Whereas Thierry was something else again. I mean, you know, in terms of kind of all-round ability, raw pace, just, you know, Thierry was arguably the better footballer, but you wouldn't, what do you do? If you take either of those to be leading your team any day of the week, wouldn't you?
And just finally on this, Henri obviously right up there as one of, if not the greatest Arsenal ever player. Again, tough, but I mean, what he did was just phenomenal, wasn't it?
It was just phenomenal. I mean, for me, Dennis Bergkamp is the greatest player in Arsenal history. Just, I think that Dennis is, you know, obviously Thierry scored more goals, but I just feel Dennis, not only was he as gifted a footballer as I've ever watched play, the only person I could even begin to compare him to really was Liam Brady. And I remember talking to Liam about it and him saying, Dennis Bergkamp, best player ever to play for Arsenal. So I always thought, if Liam's saying that, I'll go with Liam, because Liam was the best player I saw, you know, over 40 or 50 years watching Arsenal until Dennis came along. But the thing with Dennis, I think, not only was it his quality as a player, but I think the time he arrived at the club and the impact he had, I think that, you know, you look at, we're all aware of the difference that Arsene Wenger made to Arsenal when he arrived. And I think that kind of out on the pitch, Dennis had that kind of impact on Arsenal, I think was part of a kind of complete change in culture, complete change in what Arsenal as a football team and as a football club represented, really. I just think that Dennis changed everything in a way that I'm not sure. You'd probably have to go way back in the mists of time, you know, and find a figure like Charlie Buchan or someone like that to kind of someone who had a comparable impact on the history of the football club, not just in terms of what he did out on the pitch, but what he represented at a particular time in where Arsenal were and where Arsenal were going.
Let's just finish, Tom, with a couple of tweets from listeners, as we like to do during this Arsenal Insider segment. At the Grove Gooner says, I think that for this coming weekend against Watford, which we'll talk about with Adrian Clarke in a moment, that Giroud should play up front. We need to play the rotation game if we're going to challenge, and this would be a good game to bring him back in.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not 100% convinced by this kind of rotation thing, to be perfectly honest. You know, we're only in October. I think what this is about, I mean, yes, of course, we've got kind of big games on the horizon, two games home and away against Bayern Munich that are going to sort of decide what happens to us in terms of Europe this season, but kind of on the horizon. And we've got players coming back from all over the world, having been on international duty, as we always do. But I'm not sure about this kind of... I think you pick a side, every single game, you pick the side that you think is most likely to win the game. I think Theo's doing great at the moment. He'll have been coming back from Lithuania. Obviously, Olivier Giroud is short on confidence. I'm a huge fan, have been since his first away game in Arsenal colours up at the Britannia Stadium, where I thought I'd never see an Arsenal centre-forward have a fight with the likes of Shawcross and Huth and the rest of them. So I'm a huge Giroud fan. But I think if you play Giroud, or if Arsene plays Giroud, I would trust that is because he thinks that kind of centre-forward gives you your best chance of winning the game. Someone who can play with his back to goal and allow other people to join from midfield. I'd say that's the basis on which you decide, not... Oh, well, you know, Theo's had a few games, so now Olivier Giroud needs a game or two.
Oh, no, I completely agree. And also just the fact as well that, you know, with teams in and around that part of the table, no disrespect, you often get defenders that sit back, and maybe this particular example of a target man might work better than Theo's runs from deep, maybe. We'll see. Tom, just finishing off as well, at Palm Pal, this is an interesting one, says, I'd like to see Cazorla moving back into kind of the attacking midfield trio rather than playing deep, and maybe Ramsey switched back and actually playing in that two behind the three, behind the striker.
Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? We are spoilt for choice just at the moment. You know, there is that whole kind of if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing. The most unlikely thing last season, Cazorla and Coquelin, and that working. And to be fair, it's kept working. Arguably over the piece, the last 9 or 10 months, that has been the absolute key to what we've done. So to be thinking right now about moving Coquelin out, moving Cazorla out of there, I'm wondering about that. That said, I absolutely get what he's on about, because for me, Ramsey is the kind of quality you can build a team around for the next 6 or 7 years. I think you look at his... I mean, I know they lost the game, but you look at his performance in Bosnia, just his performances for Wales, where he is the kind of top... You know, he is the... I was going to say top man, but you know what I mean, playing in behind Gareth Bale. He's just a fantastic, fantastic player. So I absolutely understand the idea of tucking him back in, but I think you'd be a brave man to break up that Coquelin Cazorla axis there, which has served us very, very well indeed. I just think it's, you know, there will be a point at which, for whatever reason, Ramsey comes in and sits alongside Coquelin, and then it will be up to him to stay there. At the moment, Cazorla's the man in possession, and I'm actually keener on Cazorla playing where he's playing now than I am further forward. I think that, you know, I think further forward you need, the ball needs to move more quickly, if you know. I think that Ozil and Sanchez and even Ramsey with his breaks into the area, I'm thinking that works, as it were, and Cazorla alongside Coquelin. Who would have imagined that Santi Cazorla at this stage in his career would have learnt how to tackle? Who would ever have imagined that?
Great stuff. That is Tom Watt joining us here on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. And mate, thank you very much indeed for your time. Really appreciate it. Great to have you on. That's all from our Arsenal Insider. Now it's time to look ahead to that weekend game with Adrian Clarke. Well, of course, Adrian Clarke is the star of The Breakdown every Monday and, of course, the Matchday Show every weekend here on The Arsenal Player. Adrian joins me now to look ahead to that big game against Watford that's coming up. Adrian, hello, mate. How are you?
All good, thank you. Yeah, very well.
So, the Hornets have had a decent start to the season for a team that's newly back into the Premier League. What have you made of it?
I think better than decent because they've got practically a new team. It's incredible the number of changes that they made during the summer. The side that got promoted has, by and large, been ripped up and replaced by a collection of players from all different leagues, and I worried about them in that regard. I wondered how they'd function. I thought defensively they might not gel and that they would leak goals, but it's actually been the exact opposite. They've been pretty watertight at the back, haven't given a lot away, and they've nicked some really precious wins and points, so I think they can be delighted.
And obviously there was a change of management involved in all of that as well. I mean, as you know, in the game, when you've got so much change and so much instability, it can be problematic. Mm. But I guess they've been used over time to seeing players come and go with the links to teams like Udinese and so on.
It's incredible, yeah. I think the players that have been at Watford throughout the transitions have just got used to this turnover of players and managers. Yeah, it is normal, but they've got a really good tactician at the moment in Kike Flores. He's been around the block. He's got great reputation in Spanish football. He's managed in different countries. And I just think he's a wily campaigner. And he'll try and come up with a game plan against Arsenal. He's proven himself, I think, as a defensively astute coach so far. The question now is, can he also make them an attacking force at the same time, because they have been short of goals?
And that's the thing, isn't it? You do, on the whole, need goals to stay in the Premier League. There's the odd exception, yeah, but generally you need to keep finding the back of the net. Yeah. So with that in mind, can they maintain this start?
Yeah, I think they can, because you'd imagine they'll be able to maintain the defensive stability. If anything, the longer these guys get to play alongside one another, they should improve. And going forward, I think they've got quality, but the problem is, have they got enough depth? That's the question I'd ask. Ighalo and Deeney I really like, but have they got the backup firepower that can take them through a whole season? That's the big concern. I think they're going to be in a relegation dogfight. I don't think we should get ahead of ourselves here, but the signs suggest that they're equipped to handle it.
And obviously, as we've been discussing on the show this week, coming in, all teams, including Arsenal and Watford, after an international break, that, I suppose, can kind of work two ways. Kind of, hopefully, everybody's had a little rest. They've gone out, not got injured, represented their country and come back. But you just never know, do you?
No, and for Arsenal, they didn't want the international break because they finished it on such a high against Manchester United. What a performance that was. For Watford, it was a little bit flat. I mean, they picked up a good point at Bournemouth. They were beaten in their previous home match against Crystal Palace. So things to work on. But maybe the advantage Watford have had during the international break is that they haven't had as many players as Arsenal away from the club. I think, you know, the manager has had time to work on things and a long, long time to just get that game plan into the players' minds. And that's just the little nagging thing I have in my mind. I think Watford will be well prepared for the Gunners' visit.
Well, let's finish with our kind of three traditional questions of this format. First of all, how can Watford hurt Arsenal?
Well, Watford can hurt Arsenal with the front two because they're excellent. They're Premier League class, no doubt about that. The captain, Troy Deeney, links up fabulously with Ighalo. He's the live wire. He's really the only guy that's scoring goals for Watford at the moment. He's got five. So those two will be the most problematic for Arsenal, and they will look to link up all the time. We need to contain them.
How then, Adrian, can Arsenal potentially hurt Watford?
Well, I think they're going to sit back and try and soak up pressure. They like to look after the ball, but I don't believe they'll make the mistake United did of trying to press us high up the pitch, because we will destroy them. So I expect them to try and pack central areas. I think we can hurt them by playing quick football and by outpassing them in central midfield. We've got so much quality in there. And I look at Watford's engine room and it's just not on the same level. I think we can kill them in the midfield.
Obviously, we've seen, haven't we, just thinking players over the years go from Arsenal to Watford. I'm thinking players like Vanazza. I know Stephen Hughes was there briefly when he had a few injury problems as well. But obviously, Hector Bellerin has spent time on loan there. I know it's very different in terms of the team, but popping back to Vicarage Road, you know?
Well, it's a training ground derby as well. Bellerin had a great time at Vicarage Road. I know that. It developed him. It helped his development no end. But the training ground's back onto one another at London Colney. So let's just hope there's not too much drone action this week. If there are any drones circling the air above Arsenal section, you know where it's come from.
Clearly not vice versa. But it's only a short trip for the drone, isn't it? As you say, it's just a couple of hundred yards. Love it. OK, what about a key battleground head-to-head?
Yeah, I think that Troy Deeney is the key man for them because everything seems to go through him. They'll play a lot of high balls up towards his chest and his feet. So I expect Gabriel to be the man that gets tight to him. So Gabriel against Troy Deeney is the key head-to-head. If Gabriel asserts himself, knocks the Watford captain out of his stride, it'll give Arsenal a big advantage. If it's the other way round, Watford will cause Arsenal problems.
And in a sentence, Adrian Clark, how do Arsenal beat Watford?
Well, Arsenal beat Watford by playing fast, purposeful football. It's as simple as that. If they can match the display they produce against Manchester United, they'll blow Watford away.
So that's full time on this week's show. My thanks to Olivier Giroud, to Tom Watt and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. Remember, you can tweet your questions to the podcast by using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. Remember, if you haven't hit the subscribe button already on iTunes, do so and then you'll never miss another episode. We're back on Monday, October the 19th. And until then, it's bye for now and come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening, and remember you can subscribe to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast on iTunes or listen to a new show every Monday on Arsenal.com and SoundCloud. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.